Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of Palace of Peace Talk Radio, hosted by Michelle Manders and Faith Parent Hendrickson.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Oh, my gosh. Faith and I are here. It is Palace of Peace Talk Radio. What a mission to get signed in today. Faith, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me, too? I'm on my cell phone.
Okay, I can hear you, my darling friend. And apologies to our listeners. It has been a real Mercury retrograde past 20 minutes of stress for me, just trying to get into Blog Talk Radio. So we're here, and thank you for your patience and for listening in, and thank you, Faith, as well. We were using some very creative vocabulary earlier on regarding this ruddy, bloody Blog Talk Radio. But we that's the most important thing. And I was so excited about the intro that Nick Minturn had put together for us. And that also wouldn't even play properly. So I must really apologize for the all over the place energy today. But yeah, as I say, we have to blame it on
last week.
Oh my gosh, yes. Last week we were trying to get the same show done, and it lasted for a whole 12 minutes. Although I spoke for a full hour to fresh air, at least there was 12 minutes of the show. So we're here for the second take, hoping it's going to work this time.
Well, thank goodness we're here today, because it's a very important topic, and we're going to use the same approach where it's going to be interview style, because there is just so much going on, and the importance of every single one of us listening can't be, you know, stated. I'm like speechless. And I guess that's the best way to approach it is, if you're new to listening to our show, Michelle Manders is the founder of the Palace of Peace. It's a university of life skills, I guess, is the best way to describe what the Palace of Peace does and the work that you bring through. Hey, Michelle?
That's it, my darling. Yep.
And what I do is, with Heartlight Communications, I take information that's pertinent to living life here and try to break it down to the various levels of understanding of where people are in their lives, and try to help bring the message so that everyone can understand the truth to life here and your life, and the difference we can make to really have your own palace of peace on the inside, which is how we bring change to the world. And yes, you can, and we need you to, live your own best life while there's chaos going on. And through the benevolent light beings such as Kazumi Agrippa and Mary Magdalene that Michelle channels, we have this amazing, amazing body of work of the truth of life here on Earth as spiritual beings who happen to be in human form, and bringing the change that has been promised us for thousands of years, which is now here. And the apparent Armageddon is really here now, not something in the future, but again, knowing peace while this is going on. So particularly if you go to the palaceofpeace.net, you can see the many projects that Michelle has been leading and specifically since 2012, 12-12-2012, 12-20-2012, and the significance of these dates and being the end of the world as we know it in a good way. You know, the lack of money, lack of whatever it is that may be in your life, love, and the importance of understanding that what goes on in each of our inner worlds is what is expressed in the outer world, is really that simple. And mostly people don't feel that they can make a difference. So I really would like you to please just talk about what an ascension wave is, number one, since the name of the show is The Current Ascension Wave. What does it mean and where is it taking us? And the current project that you're working on, Michelle, the Middle East Phase 2 project. And again, if you go to the palaceofpeace.net, you'll look and see on the right the many projects that have been going on since the end of 2012 to help understand where we are. So would you mind taking it from the top, from that level of basicness, and think about people that are new to hearing terms like what is ascension, what is the ascension wave even? Would that be all right, Michelle?
Yeah, sure. I'll do my best, Faith. Thank you very much for asking these questions and for giving, you know, your take on how you see these energies. And that's one thing I've always commended you on, is your ability to just take all the long-winded information that I provide and just like snap it up into a short little synopsis, and Bob's your auntie, you know, everyone's got the information, whereas I tend to be a little bit long-winded. So I am going to do my best to kind of like put it in a nutshell. The way I'm going to describe it is basically from my perspective in terms of how I understand it. I've been channeling Kutumi Agrippa specifically since 1996. Mary Magdalene came in shortly after that, possibly 6 years after that, if roundabout there. So they've been since then speaking about these ascension windows, ascension waves, and basically what I understand the ascension waves to be are, if you could imagine our atmosphere, the world in which we live, and beyond Earth itself, let's look at the cosmos specifically as being a grand ocean-like place. And within the ocean are these different currents, and these currents take us in whichever direction it may be. And within the oceans, there's also a whole bunch of shifting and changes taking place beneath the surface of the Earth. So tectonic plates are moving around, and that seismic activity beneath the oceans can then give rise to tsunamis, tidal waves, etc. So it's very similar if we look at the cosmos as being this grand cosmic ocean. And there is all this activity that takes place behind the scenes, beneath the scenes, above the scenes, that we don't see, that we are not consciously aware of. But our human consciousness and awareness is severely inhibited and limited by a person's perceptions, life experience, etc. But there are certain times that, or certain events that manifest as a result of timing or specific sequences and astrological configurations that support a explosion of energy or one of these seismic activities, which then gives birth to this massive wave of change that comes. So these ascension waves you could imagine as tsunamis or tidal waves that manifest as a result of the shifting of energies beneath the surface of what is being seen. And with these big waves come change. And these waves are energetic pulses of photonic energy, which is light. And because it's not visible to our physical eye, most people don't connect with it, or they will assume nothing's happening because they can't really see it. But these ascension waves of energy, the moment it enters the Earth's atmosphere, it begins initiating these changes, because the vibrations also carry with them, obviously, sound. And there are pitches and notes of sound that are not audible by the human ear. And I mean, this we know just with the simple term of looking at what dogs can hear that humans can't hear. But the fact that we can't hear it doesn't mean what the dog is hearing is a figment of his imagination, or he's, you know, ready for the loony bin because he's hearing things other people can't hear. So if we look at nature in that sense, and we see how there are things that cannot be seen and heard by the human ear and eye, but other aspects of nature are able to pick it up loud and clear, should then inspire us to become excited by these different opportunities that present us themselves. So the ascension waves are also triggered by various astrological configurations, and these are triggered by aspects of different planets to other planets, to asteroids, to fixed stars. And these configurations of energy then make up a geometric pattern within the heavens, which then triggers more of these events. And September 2015 was one of these times in Earth's spiritual history where there was a huge amount of astrological activity happening. We've had the super blood moon, a full moon in Aries. There's been so much going on. So I think the best way for me, shall say, see these ascension waves is as if you were swimming in the big wide ocean and you were a very happy chappy, like a turtle going wherever it was, or a whale, and you get caught up in the current and you go where it needs to take you. And that is basically, I would say, how most of us should be seeing life, or attempt to see life, where we go with the flow and currents, as opposed to trying to fight everything. Because let's face it, you know, if you're facing a super strong current and you try and swim against that current, you're going to get nowhere fast, or it's going to take you in the direction that it's flowing, not in the direction that you want to go. So as far as the ascension waves concerned, Faith, does that explain it in simple layman's terms, or can you expound a bit on that and make it simpler? I know I haven't answered the second part of your question, but...
Well, no, I think this is very well said. I really also like the analogy that you're making with the sea and nature, and in hearing things, and just because we can't, or we're not aware of it, doesn't make it real and true. These are all opportunities and windows for us to observe instead of being swept away with whatever is going on. And I guess when you have an ascension wave, would you... I have an idea. I don't know if you want to go to the part two of the question, or would you rather just say, here's what that might look like in your world and an average person's life?
In terms of what the ascension wave would look like in an average person's life. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people are already dealing with that. And classic example of how these ascension waves show up in people's lives is where things that have been an issue. Let's say, for example, it's a really destructive relationship that a person is in, and they've been in the relationship for donkey's years, or maybe not. And we can apply it to dead-end jobs, dead-end friendships, the whole shebang. But let's just say it's a bad relationship. So the person, the guy or the woman, has been sticking in the relationship for the sake of the children, or because they can't afford to move out, whatever the excuse may be. Suddenly, these people are finding that the pressure, the stress of remaining within these situations are now becoming so impossible to tolerate. It's as if they are being pushed over the edge, forced into the abyss and to let go. So it is, things are appearing to be all hell breaking loose in certain, well, in people's lives and in countries and in governments, because these ascension waves are giving people an opportunity to ascend. Now, let me just quickly say here that ascension is not a one-time experience. Ascension is basically the process of rising up or climbing up or lifting. Descension is the process of going down, climbing down, walking down. So the ascension process is a series of an infinite number of events and experiences. Because every time we overcome an obstacle or we rise above an insecurity, transcending it and turning it into a mastered quality, a valuable piece of wisdom within our consciousness, this is then an ascension experience. So these are all ascension experiences. So just think of ascension being the process of transcending your insecurities, rising above your debilities, and rising above your fate and karma, and taking on your true destiny and what is called our dharma. So our dharma is what we were put here to do. And a classic example is a dog's dharma is to bark. A lion's dharma is to roar. So sometimes I think a human being's dharma is to be silly. But anyway, that applies in some cases. So the way these ascension energies are showing up depends on the person's circumstances. So for some people, it's going to be really testing and trying, where the job becomes unbearable, the relationship becomes unbearable. If it's not a job and it's not a relationship and it's the person individually themselves, the push might be that it is to perhaps really take cognizance of their health and start treating themselves with love and respect. So perhaps all of a sudden, really hectic health issues kind of like just appear out of the woodwork. Or it is suddenly, you know, just feeling emotions and frustrations that they haven't felt before because they are dragging their feet, not doing what they're supposed to do, although in the back of their mind they actually do know what they need to do, but they're just too lazy or too afraid or too insecure. Everyone has their own unique excuses as to why they're not doing whatever it is that they're supposed to be doing. But the bottom line is these ascension waves brings this tsunami of energy and picks up everyone in its wake. Some people surf it like a Point Break, like Patrick Swayze surfed that maverick wave back when he was still able to surf waves. I don't know if any of you have seen that movie. I'm sure some of you might recognize that movie. And in other instances, people are caught up in the wave and drown. Their life is crushed. So these ascension waves do not necessarily manifest so as to crush people. It is the sign of times. We are in a process of evolution. Our planet is changing. Mother Earth has put her foot down and is not going to take any more of the abuse and rape and pillaging of her body. The people who are in touch with Mother Earth, the evolved human beings who are working in conjunction with Mother Earth, these are the people who have also called for these changes to come. And because there are sufficient humans and Mother Earth herself, setting the same intention, wanting the same things, the cosmological energy responds to it and delivers. It's the same when we set intentions and we, you know, we project out intentions and prayers to spirit and the universe. There is always, always, with fail, a response of energy, even if sometimes what we perceive as being no response is in actual fact an answer no, or just, you know, hang in there for another day or week or whatever it is. But we live in a society of, you know, instant gratification, and people have become extremely lazy, so lazy that they're not even prepared to do the work on themselves in order to improve their life circumstances. So with Mother Earth and sufficient evolved humans on this earth, setting the intentions for the change to come, the change is here. And it came a while ago, and it is not going to, its momentum is not going to slow down. So I would suggest to people who are new to this energy, or who are really feeling the whack of this ascension wave, my suggestion is slow down and look at what it is that is challenging you. Because these ascension waves are also, in a way, kicking our butts out of, you know, our uncomfortable comfort zones, those places of complacency where, you know, things are not really going anywhere. So for me, I must say, with the people that I'm helping at the moment, or people that are reaching out, it is around these areas of denial, disregard, where people are, and I must admit, the denial one is a big, big part of this awakening phase, because a lot of people kind of like spend or sit in denial because they either do not have a cooking clue what aspect of their life they actually need to focus on. Some people also just have kind of like accepted that the dead-end job and the dead-end relationship and the abuse of friendships and things like that are what we do in life. It's just how we experience things in life. It's the norm. But what we've also been shown with these ascension waves and with all the changes that are happening right now is that the sorry lot in life, the suffering, the pain, and all the challenges that we experience is not actually the norm as such. It's not supposed to be the norm, is actually what I'm trying to say here. So the promise of new life, crossing the threshold, the change of the guard, starting from scratch. I mean, these are channeling topics that I gave or channeled years ago already. And now it's coming up in such a way where, you know, people are in shock and, oh my goodness, I didn't expect this. And where did this come from? And why all of a sudden now people, we've been groomed for this for more than a decade already. And it's been a buildup of energy, and the energy has now arrived with a bang. And as I said, that momentum is not going to slow down anytime soon. So the best thing you can do for yourself is address the problem areas of your life, regardless of what it is. These ascension energies, in other words, these upliftment growth opportunities, are asking you to look at what's not working and to begin effecting change, because if it's not working, there is something different. There's a solution to every single problem. Where there's a will, there's a way. And the more people can just accept that and, you know, surrender to that current of allowing these ascension waves to take you in the direction of where your soul wants you to be, then I think it's also going to ease up. And a lot of the times that I've also found, which I think I just is important to mention here, is people will say, oh, well, you know, the ascended masters did this and spirit did this and I prayed and I asked for this and this happened instead of that happening, and God did this and God didn't do this and the angels did this and what have you. Slow down. Stop right there. It was not God. It was not the ascended masters. It was not the angels. It was nothing outside of you. It was your own soul and higher self doing whatever it is that you are projecting the blame onto in an external towards an external source. The reason why I'm saying this is because let's just look at the energy of Pluto. Pluto represents the evolution of our soul. Neptune motivates us to realize our fullest potential as a spiritual being. Uranus is this electrical energy that shocks us into reality, and that reality is the new reality that we're working towards. So when we stop blaming God, the angels, the masters, the cat, the dog, Uncle Tom, Auntie, whoever it is, and we look that it's our own soul pushing us to evolve, then we take back our power. Then we are equipped to get on with our lives and have the opportunity to manifest the life that we deserve. But if people are going to sit on their backsides complaining about everything going on wrong in their life and who's responsible for everything going wrong, no one's going to get anywhere. So with every new incarnation, our soul chooses a personality, and that personality is depicted by the astrological blueprint. So the moment we take our first breath of life, our blueprint, our map for this lifetime is sealed. So wherever the planets are transiting at that time, there you have your map. You came in with a map, believe it or not, although many people will say we didn't. You did. Your astrological natal chart is your map in this lifetime and will give you the majority of the answers. 85% of what is, I beg your pardon, let me rather put it this way. In the studies that I've done, I originally studied as a traditional astrologer, studying the medieval astrological works of Bob Zoller. And with those teachings, basically what was taught is that 85% of the information is correct, and the remaining 15% is left up to fate, so to speak. That is God's will, and we will never know what that information is. But that is how we are able to apply free will, etc., etc. So if we look at the astrological blueprint and we look at Pluto specifically as a planet, that Plutonian energy follows us through every single lifetime because the soul wants to evolve. That is the purpose of the soul, is to return to oneness, to become one with the one and only true Father God and Mother Goddess of the Light. And even once we've returned home and become one, we're still going to continue growing because that oneness is still going to expound on it and grow. So it's an infinite process, but with each incarnation, there are lessons to learn. So if we get down to business now and we start addressing what it is that we need to address, then it's going to bring an end to the fight or the struggle a lot quicker. Does that make sense, Faith?
Yes.
Okay. Anything you want to add on that?
Yes, I do, actually. Thank you. I'm always afraid I'm going to speak over you, so with the delays with Blog mm-hmm. Talk Radio. For people also who are...
Oh, God.
Michelle.
Hi, Faith. Sorry, you disappeared
yes.
for a second there. Okay, I can hear
well,
you.
There were...
Sorry, carry on.
Okay, I heard a voice say muted and unmuted, so I don't know if there was a button push. That's very odd.
Oh, it's possible. Sorry, my baby Alexis, my young daughter, she's in the office here trying to catch my attention. So.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
Just to back up a little bit, astrology and astronomy were always studied together since thousands of years ago, and it wasn't until modern times that had been separated out. And so for those of us new to these works and teachings, it's kind of a good idea to just talk about the fact that as spiritual beings coming to the Earth school of spiritual growth, that our souls came through, I guess I know them to be called gateways to Earth, and that means passing through the energies of these planets. And as we do that, we pick up these essences of the language of spirit through each one of these planets. And when you first, your first breath here on Earth is when you fire up what the stars look like energetically with their energies as where you are standing on Earth or taking your first breath on Earth. And that is where your challenges are and your strengths and your light that you can embrace in this lifetime. So I just wanted to mention that. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that before I say something else? Michelle, if you're there. You didn't drop off like we did a week ago. Well, in any case,
sorry, I didn't drop off.
Good.
I'm muted again. I don't know what button I'm pressing without realizing it, that I'm muting everyone here. Actually, let me just move my keyboard out of the way here. So,
no
sorry
problem.
About that, Faith. Repeat what you said.
Well, basically discussing how the soul comes through our universe.
Yes, okay, I got you on all that. Sorry, yes, okay, got you on that.
And that we are all affected by this. These are spiritual entities, beings. They are energies that no one can escape, whether people believe it or not. And quite frankly, I didn't give much attention to astrology because it was never accurate until studying it myself 2 years ago almost now, and understanding that I wasn't just my sun sign, because I do not look like my sun sign, and understanding the particulars have helped me really understand spirit on a really incredible level since those times. So I just wanted to briefly mention that these are events that are part of the divine plan here on Earth for humanity, and that we're not just thrown here without some bigger picture, and then how we fit in this bigger picture when we choose to incarnate. Is there anything you wanted to add to that, Michelle?
No, that's perfect.
Okay. All right. So, so really understanding that whatever your challenges are, please know that as awful as it can be, every bit of it is the truth to the expression that God never gives you more than you can handle. And I know that's probably the last thing many people want to hear, or they may know someone or close to people that are just suffering and they feel like their lives are falling apart. It's an illusion that things are getting worse. It's just the truth of things that have to be addressed, and that, as Michelle said earlier, that we cannot not pay attention to. And the can have is the war we create upon ourselves. And just think about how we talk to ourselves, the things we say. I mean, we're all guilty of it. Some probably more than others, because that's part of what we came to experience. And whatever it is you're experiencing, you're not the only one going through it. For the most part, every single one of us at some point in our lives have thought, good heavens above, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with my life? It is so hard and awful. Everyone else has it easier. Everyone else seems to have things figured out, or other people do. I'm just clueless. I'll never get it. People have far more talent and abilities than I do. Blah, blah, blah. All of those things, if you only realized how much we're all alike. And to just really focus when you don't know what to do and everything else is just so overwhelming. But perhaps you needed to be where you are now, and it's the only way your soul could get your attention or your higher self is to hit rock bottom. So you could say, what the slap is going on here? Instead of WTF meaning what we all know it to mean, replace it with what the faith. Where is that in your life? What happened to it? Where is that light? There is some good in you. Listen to what other people say to you about you. I think we spoke of this in one of the other programs where, you know, you were experimenting, Michelle, with seeing yourself through the eyes of those who love you and how life-changing that was for you. And people, you know, if you're having a hard time trying to make money so you can put food on the table, well, maybe that's because your efforts are needed in your own community to help bring that specific change. But if you're in the upheaval in it yourself, in your faith, you never would have had your attention paid in that very important area of your life that your soul would like to make a difference. And maybe it's coming together and working in the food shelters or whatever it is, because you need to go there and have help yourself. There is a reason. You are able to make a difference, even if it's allowing those to help you. So then you know what it's like, so that when you want people to accept help from you, you can help coach them. It doesn't matter what it is in your life. You can make a difference, but is that it starts, everything starts and ends with you. Period. It doesn't matter what it is. Even if you don't have the ability to understand astrology, don't care to, it doesn't matter. I guarantee you that what you have going on in your life is perfect for you, and there is wisdom to be seen in it. And if you consider how many times we've all said, if I could just get through this one thing, my life would be perfect. Well, how many times have we said that, made it through it, only to have that next big one thing? Uh-huh. And every one of us, don't you agree, Michelle, and that we've had that point in our lives where we're just so exhausted we can't take it anymore?
Yep. And you know what, Faith, I think it's, you know, this is so in line with the kinds of challenges that are now just, you know, hiking up a whole notch, because this is exactly what needs to happen now is, you know, this is the next stage of this whole promise of new life. So, you know, if we can stop shifting the goalpost every single time we get through something or we get over something, I think that will also add a whole new dimension of the quality of life we can experience. And I would just like to quickly put in here, I think it was the channeling I did yesterday, part 12 of the Middle East Phase 2 project, where Katumi Agrippa is speaking about the lower ego and how 80% of our drama exists because of the lower ego, because of our attachment to fear, insecurities, what ifs, why nots. And he was saying, you know, if we can get that lower ego in check and, you know, address the issues that drive us to want to control everything and boss everyone around and, you know, basically control. That's the bottom line. So if we can get to the deeper motivation behind our need to control, we are then going to have a lot less drama in our lives. And I must actually say that I agree very much with what he said there, because it was about 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. So it was about 4 years ago. Yes,
it was 4 years ago, because on the 11th of November, Palace of Peace is 4 years old after changing the name from the Light Weaver. So it's been 4 years. And so between the months of sort of November 2011 and let's say around about March 2012, I did a major spring clean. It was like everything kind of like crashed all at once. And as a result of this crash that happened, I basically cut ties with just about everyone that was involved in this whole collapse and crash that happened. And it spread to a number of other areas of my life where I just did this huge spring clean. I ended friendships, relationships, acquaintances. As I said, it was a huge clean up and clean out. And since I've done that, I have little to no drama in my life. And I'm being 100% honest with you about that. When I got rid of certain people, certain things that were going on, the drama disappeared with those people. So do not underestimate the power that lies in getting rid of toxic friendships, relationships, any kind of toxic experience that's not positively contributing to your life. Get rid of it. You get rid of it, you get rid of the drama. As I've said, I can vouch for that because that's exactly what happened to me. So again, it boils down to addressing fears. So the fear of offending someone because you've known them most of your life and they're supposed to be such a good friend, so you can't now go and tell them to take a long walk or for short plank into a pool of piranhas. You've got to still put up with their crap because you've known them for donkey's years. That's just an excuse. That is a lame cop-out. Those are the moments where, and excuse my French here, but where people need to grow a pair of balls or a pair of ovaries and just get on with the things that need to be done. Because if you're not going to grow a pair, who's going to fix your life for you? Not me, not God, not the angels, not the ascended masters. As Faith said, everything begins and ends with us. So if our life is a train smash, we need to do the damage control. We need to assess what the damage has been as a result and then, go through the process of eliminating what it is that contributed to it. And I promise you, by the end of it, and I mean, for me, as I say, it took a couple of months, but by the end of those couple of months, and now let's fast forward 4 years later, I should have done it a whole bunch of months or years sooner, but that's irrelevant. The pertinent point here is do not delay the inevitable, because what you resist persists, and the way the energies are as they stand now, things are going to get more difficult the more you choose to remain in denial. So that was my little addition to that, Faith. So please continue.
Well, this is very important to know, and it really takes you saying, I am worth it. I want to do this. If you don't do that, then welcome to the rest of your life. Don't bother seeking out advice, because just go look in the mirror and say, here's what I'm going to have. And I understand what it's like. Michelle and I have been there. We've been exhausted. We've wanted to give up. We wanted to just go home, end it all. I don't care how many times. But the point is most of us think, as I said earlier, that nobody understands us. Everybody else has it figured out. I can't do it, blah, blah, blah. Whatever that gerbil wheel, that mental inner war we go through, you can. And if you're listening, that means it's time for you. Your soul is prodding you to do that now. You are not meant to do it alone. Reaching out to people, finding your own light, which means focusing on the positives. Like I said earlier, what are some of the things that people have said about you? What are some of the compliments, like people that you respect? and look up to have said things about you, reflect on that. And instead of saying, why me, why not me?
Mm.
And understand that we have lost the, I want to say urgency. I don't know what the right word is here. We are meant to engage with higher beings, the benevolent beings of light, to assist us. We've never been tasked to doing this alone. And recognizing that there's a much bigger part of you that is always with you, because that's how it works, is one of the biggest steps to help you. Calling to your higher self, calling to your guardian angel, this is where you're going to find your higher solutions. And disengaging from that drama, from that lower ego, and first of all, being aware of it and how much you've given your power to it, how much you've given your power away to other people. And a lot of that is because we just are at war with ourselves first. I can't express enough the importance of understanding this, and especially trying to turn things around in life. And we've talked about this before in prior shows. If this is your first time listening, it's something, I think the first time I heard the term transparenting was with you and your work, and really being that parent to your inner child, that neglected little girl and little boy inside, is the most misunderstood, biggest influence in your life, truly. It is that motivating force behind the scenes that we're not aware of, that needs proper attention with love, not aggression, with peace. Tend to, mostly I have to use animals as an analogy when I work with clients, because there's no judgment there, and the unconditional love of maybe a kitten or a puppy, the energies of what you feel towards that. I mean, just think about it, close your eyes and think about a soft, fluffy baby animal of whatever your choice is, and connect with the feeling of that and try to turn that on yourself. Most people gasp. They can't even imagine that softness turned in. And that's a great indicator to how much you need you for that. And that self-love and self-worth, there's nothing more powerful in changing your life than recognizing that. Instead of beating yourself up and being so critical for not doing something correctly, or being perfect, because you can't be perfect. It's impossible. But to be perfectly human is why we're here. And we've forgotten that mistakes are fine. It means we're trying and we're learning, and we've now had a new experience that we didn't know about before, and it most likely showed you something else to do. But really being tender with yourself just is going to help you shift and understand the importance of transparenting, and then faith returns. If you didn't lose it, it can go even deeper. But those two elements, transparenting, that self-love aspect of self, and faith, are just extremely important. It's where everything can change. And these ascension energies, I've noticed for myself, Michelle, I don't know if you can add your experiences to this, but being aware of the self and a keen observer of my own life and how I respond to things, and letting the subconscious through to help you understand your habits that you don't even realize you're doing. And a lot of that comes through by writing down your experiences and journaling. I'm finding that I'm shedding things and they're not returning. I'm finding that it's uncomfortable, and I don't like it. I will be honest with you, I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. But because I've done the house cleaning like Michelle has talked about, and I surround myself with people who mean well, their heart is there, and they're figuring things out along with me, and we're doing this together, I then feel that strength to move forward and just do it anyway. As Ketumi Agrippa says, face your fear and do it anyway. Know that you're listening to us, Michelle and I, even though we have never met you and spoken to you, perhaps, we energetically, spiritually, we are with you. We are arm in arm together. This is how we can help bring change. So these ascension energies, it feels like things are melting off of you, and you're not like that pendulum anymore going back and forth, back and forth. And even if you are, it's not as far back as it used to be. For me, I'm finding I'm not going back at all anymore in certain areas. And is there something you can add to that, Michelle? Do you agree?
Faith, I absolutely agree with you. And I might have spoken about it to our live webinar platform when we do the channelings, how it feels like with certain issues, and this I found under the Venus retrograde that happened a little while ago, the Venus in Leo retrograde. And I must tell you, it was one of my best Venus retrogrades to date. As an astrologer, and I've been an astrologer, I think, for 8 years now, it was a really good one. And I realized at the end of that retrograde, it was in actual fact on the day Venus went direct, there was a whole bunch of awesome insights that came. And I realized, oh my goodness, I've reached the end of an onion. It's like there's no more layers left. Yes, you know, that kind of feeling. And it was, and I realized that at times as well when certain things happen and I'm not triggered like I was in the past. And these are the moments in our life when we come to realize how all our efforts have been worth it. And it basically boils down to addressing all the neglected parts of ourselves. Now, just quickly going back to something that you were talking about earlier on, Faith, about the transparenting and the healing of the neglected inner child, I would like to invite all of our listeners to go to my website, palaceofpeace.net, and click on, look at the right, right on the top is a bar that goes across. You're going to see in big bold letters, free channelings. Click on free channelings. The fleas come with lice too, if you like. So just scroll down. You're going to see documents, and there's a whole bunch of listing of free channelings, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So about the 13th or 14th heading down, you're going to see healing the neglected inner child. It's part of our global healing process. There's a perfect channeling to work with. And there's a whole bunch of others. So for the neglected inner child, look out for that one. Go and work with it. The other thing, Faith, that I just would like to add here is, you know, the way that we have addressed so much of our personal stuff, for me, I must say, I need to give credit to the masters who work through me, and all the amazing wisdom that I am, you know, given when they impart these amazing teachings. And, you know, whether it's an ascended master or my higher self actually doesn't matter to me, because, damn, it works. The information works regardless of, you know, the source in that sense. And if it's my thumb, damn, thumb, you've done a really good job. So whatever thumb suck, masters, my higher self, whatever people want to argue, the bottom line is I owe my entire life's healing and transformation to the information that I've been channeling since 1996. And more so, more recently, these projects that we've been doing. And in actual fact, the last 4 years of my life have probably been the most empowering and life-changing. Gosh, it's almost a year since I was diagnosed with stage 3 melanoma cancer, which I am 100% still clear of. And again, it was the teachings that helped me, the knowledge that I have as a result of all this amazing love and wisdom that's been channeled, that helped me to look at what I needed to look at to see, you know, I created the cancer, I can uncreate it, which is exactly what I did. And these are the things that we all need to take full responsibility for, and that is our own internal process. And like Faith said, you know, when we've got to deal with these issues, it's not a-okay when it happens. It feels shitty. It feels terrible. It's like it's horrible in the body. And I'll be honest with you, when I'm going through those moments, it feels so uncomfortable and so out of place in my life that even those that short few hours or 2 or 3 days that I'm going through something, it feels like I am going through the birth canal and being forced out into something new, but it's painful while it happens. However, the moment, and I mean the instant, I have clarity, insight, or whatever little epiphany happens in that moment, all of that, all of those horrible feelings are gone, and I mean instantaneously gone. And then it feels like, oh well, those past few hours of what I perceived as hell, or these past few days or week of what's been really challenging, is just poof, gone. Into thin air. And that is how incredible these opportunities of healing are. And I've come to call them spontaneous healing. And the reason why I call it spontaneous healing is because when you face something and suddenly it's not a trigger anymore, it's that spontaneous realization that, oh, it's gone, it's healed. And at other times, things happen, and in that moment of whatever's happening, the trigger happens, but the insight or the clarity behind what's triggering makes the whole situation just evaporate and disappear into thin air. And that is because the moment we grasp ideas or concepts, and these are not external ideas and concepts, these are internal. When we grasp our own internal hardwiring and see that things can change, because they can, they do all the time, it is only our fixed addictions to fixed ideas and attitudes that keep us fixed in situations that we assume can never change, because, you know, this is just the way things are. So I agree with you, Faith. It's a big pardon?
And fear, you know, sometimes it's better the devil we know than the devil we don't, or whatever the expression
Absolutely.
Is, right? I mean, you know, sometimes we just cling to what we know isn't good for us because we just really don't know what else there is. And through growing up, mostly, we don't have the skill set and how to even recognize, perhaps even, let alone how to change the dynamics so that we can have that palace of peace and living and knowing a drama-free life. And one of the reasons, and this is one way, what Michelle and I are doing with these programs with the Palace of Peace is our way to try to bring light to those that can pay it forward. You too can, in your way, shape, or form, whether dealing with, you know, your own community, your family, schools, your churches, synagogues, whatever it is, don't underestimate, even just one-on-one, that little eye-to-eye contact of someone who's having a difficult time, even just acknowledging someone who's homeless and smiling. There's so much you can do to help bring light where there's darkness. And that's part of what the ascended masters, the angelic host, they're asking us to do this. And that is a big part of the Middle East Phase 2 project underway right now. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit about that specifically, because there's so much in the news right now about the Middle East, and you're leaving soon. You're bringing a group of people to help with these energies.
Yes.
So would you mind, because this is all part of the Middle East project. So everything we're talking about today is all part of that. So if you'd
Absolutely.
Like to take it from there.
Yes, thank you, Faith. It was approximately, when did we start with Middle East Phase 1? Hold on, I'll have
end
to get
of
your...
End of last year?
Was it the end of last year already? Oh my gosh. Okay, so it's been a few months in the flow already. And basically, the Middle East project is being delivered in four phases. We start Phase 3 towards the end of November. But the Middle East project is focusing on the energies in the Middle East, which when I was given the information, I was told that the Middle East is a sacred crystal belt of Christed consciousness and is the bridge between heaven and earth and the realm holding the ancient sacred keys that unlock our sacred Christed crystal consciousness and the crystal-like body. And the war in the Middle East is, to a large degree, purely to prevent us from tapping into the realm of the Akashic records that are actually stored there. Because this information will actually completely set humanity free, because it provides proof that we are Christ-like in consciousness, and it also proves or provides the information that we require that will enable the entire planet to live off what the planet provides. So, I mean, this would take away all of the powers of the malefic powers currently infiltrating Earth. So as we go forward with this information and the connection into the Middle East, the main thing is looking at how our internal reality is a reflection of the external reality, and of course, vice versa. So the process is about taking full responsibility for ourselves, holding ourselves 100% accountable for the quality of life we are experiencing here and now. We cannot go back and erase what's happened to us in the past, but we can most certainly use what's happened to us in the past as stepping stones to becoming our most empowered self. And I think that is also something that's really important for people to do, is not carry that past imprint into the future, thinking that because of what happened in your past, that's going to happen in your future. And the Middle East projects are triggering a lot of these energetic realizations and obviously conscious realizations regarding this. And the energy combination with these Middle East projects, which, as I said, are being delivered in four phases, is connecting into the deeper realms of our subconscious. And as a result, we also connecting with the more empowered, advanced realms of our inner self. So the project is inspiring, encouraging, and motivating all participants to take the grand leap and to allow themselves the deep dive into the abyss of self. And in so doing, finding these new dimensions within ourselves, holding incredible knowledge, information, talents, and gifts that we have denied, ignored, or perhaps even not even known was present within ourselves. So in taking responsibility for ourselves, and holding ourselves accountable for our choices, etc., this is creating a collective energetic shift that is triggering a number of the energies, making us aware of what's happening as within, so without, and as above, so below. So it's taking us into looking at the dual realities, which are the inner world and the external world, and how to go about actually releasing ourselves from these energies. And what this entails is the ultimate forgiveness of self and of all the beings external to us, be it God, the angels, spirit, whoever it is, and forgiving them and ourselves for this perceived abandonment and disappointment and loss and lack. And the energies through these projects have been working also with a dual process of building and upgrading our personal life grids, as well as the anchoring of the new planetary grids, which is the central point of all of the projects that we've done since Egypt 2012, which was Return of the Pilgrims, right the way through now until where we are, Middle East Phase 2. Myself and some of my core guardians, we depart for Egypt I leave on the 16th of October. We'll be traveling through Egypt, going through to Jordan and Israel. We will be anchoring these energies that these communities of benevolent beings are extending to us. And with the Middle East Project specifically, we are forming magnificent new lines of communication, connections, and forming bonds with these magnificent benevolent beings of the light, from specifically Pleiades, Arcturus, Sirius, Venus, and Andromeda. And these five communities of benevolent beings are supporting the incoming flow of these energies that we at the Palace of Peace are responsible for anchoring through our body, through what it is that we experience in our life, how we live our life, and how we impart these energies. Now, I just want to quickly say that although I've said this is what the Palace of Peace is doing, the Palace of Peace is one of 12 groups, like warrior groups across the globe. And we are made up of a group of other light warriors and light workers who are committed to not only rising above our own fate, but also facilitating the process of supporting Mother Earth to do precisely the same. And what makes our projects so awesome, and what I love most about the projects, is that every single ounce of energy invested in our own healing is energy invested in facilitating Mother Earth's transition and supporting her. And this is why it's called the Earth Guardian Project, because we are not only Earth Guardians, we are also companions to Mother Earth. And with us working as guardians of Mother Earth, we are having to take very seriously the commitment, or the service commitment, that we made prior to our incarnation. So the main thing that is happening here is that all souls who agreed to work with Mother Earth in this fashion, who agreed to harness and anchor the energies which are in alignment with the Palace of Peace, these are, including myself, the group of souls assigned the Palace of Peace template to deliver the energies that we as a group were assigned to deliver. Each and every one of us hold a specific energetic configuration, and this applies to people that may only join in with our Earth Guardian projects in the future, because people are triggered and activated at the right time and then obviously find our work. But each person who's already part of the Emerald Ray Clan of Guardians, which is the core group working with the Middle East at the moment, each of us holding a sacred vibration, which then contributes to the collective geometric systems of energy filtering through the planetary grids. These energetic systems filtering through are ensuring that the energy stays upgraded all the time. So these filtering systems work as flushing systems, releasing from the planetary grids toxic energies that have built up. And these toxic energies build up as a result of the collective astral. And, you know, these energies can be quite sticky and iffy, and sometimes they get caught up in the grids. But this is why there is a flush every 12 hours, an upgrade of the energy every 12 hours in relation to the grids that we at the Palace of Peace are responsible in our role of service for anchoring. And the projects as a collective, which is the Palace of Peace project, falls under the Aquarian Rising 2020 Projects of Light, because we are focusing on setting everything up as perfectly as possible for what is going to be taking place between December 2020 and December 2022. In December 2020, we have a powerful astrological conjunction taking place where Saturn and Jupiter join hands at the beginning of Aquarius. So it is going to be Saturn and Jupiter in the constellation of Aquarius, signaling the final anchoring of the last phase of the Aquarian age. Why is that such a big deal? Because the Aquarian age is a big deal. So this is when the energies are either going to swing to being predominantly, predominantly light or predominantly negative. So either the world's going to be taken over by the malefic forces and agendas that we are already at the receiving end of, or we're going to change it completely, which is what I believe is going to happen, and the light is going to return and Mother Earth is going to return to her former glory, and obviously much more and much greater than that. So we are conduits of energy. We are a group of light warriors who, as I said, have chosen to rise above our fate and the mundane world and to embrace these new paradigms of light and this new opportunity to live life from a completely different reality. So being one of 12 groups, our main mission statement is to ensure that the Golden Age of Peace template is secured on Earth between December 20th, 2022. We've also been called the Ground Zero team by the beings who are working with us and conveying information. And as the Ground Zero team, our main task is infiltrating darkness and planting the seeds of light in these dark, barren areas of Mother Earth's body, and also the hearts and souls of human beings where their world has become a barren, lifeless, loveless, lightless kind of existence. So I would suggest if anyone is really interested in getting to know more of what it is that we're doing, that you go to my website, palaceofpeace.net, and get a taste of the information by going through the free channelings. There's loads of channelings there. I think there must be at least 50, if not more. And then just have a look at the list of topics, which is on the right-hand side of the web page, and you will see all the different projects that have taken place since Egypt, December 2012, and you'll see each one is listed as the actual country we were working with, be it India and Bhutan or Madagascar, the Africa Project, Bali, Greece. Each of them are a specific theme and thread of energy. And I must say, with every single country that we've traveled to and every single project without fail that we've been working on since December 2012, every country that we have worked with, be it us traveling there physically or us doing the energetic work first, every single one of those countries have come into the news. There has always been something that's been going on in relation to that country and what it is that we're working on. And for me, that speaks volumes, because, you know, I'm just the type of person that, you know, when I'm doing work with the masters, I need to know that within myself and what I'm doing is the best that I can do. I'm doing it right. It's what they want. And I'd often ask, I think to myself, oh, my God, woman, you know, do you really expect people to take you seriously when you tell them we're going to do this, we're going to do that? And, you know, we just going to, you know, just kick the whole, you know, bunch of dark forces off their little pedestals. And we're going to do this. And it's, you know, mass exodus of Vladimir Dracula's energy. And, you know, sometimes I thought to myself, I must really sound like I am ready for the loony bin. And I can tell you, every time I have asked for confirmation or even just thought of it, there it's been. And here we are again into phase two of the Middle East project, and Israel, Syria, and is all over the news. In the earlier channelings, Katumi Agrippa said we need to watch Russia, China, America, South Africa, because these energies are all going to come together, and this is going to be a big part of the upheaval and World War III, as we've come to know it already, playing out. And it's all over the news. Everywhere I look, it's Vladimir Putin's face everywhere. It is China getting involved. Yeah, I live in South Africa. I'm not too sure exactly how South Africa is involved yet, although I'm doing a huge amount of my own personal research into the corruption of the South African government and what technology they're using, because I have been given word that we are going to be doing some work with the governments on the African continent. And in actual fact, Middle East Phase 3 includes working with Zimbabwe, which is going to be an important process of unraveling the very, very insidious, very dark energy that Mugabe has been using to keep people under his finger, under his thumb. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, more proof than that we cannot have. And these projects are absolutely life-changing. And I mean, you can speak to any one of the core members of our team, and they will tell you they can, you know, utter off a whole bunch of stories of how their lives have changed. And it might not be a 180 degree turnaround immediately. It might take two or three projects, but I tell you, from the very first project or the very first bit of work that you start doing, the shifts are going to start taking place. Initially, it's going to be uncomfortable because, you know, with any wound that has not been given any kind of TLC, you need to clean it out. You need to get the sepsis out. You need to get the infection out. And then you dress the wound. And then you have to keep on cleaning it and dressing it until eventually it's completely healed. And it does heal. And I think that's the main thing I would also like a lot of people to understand, or kind of like harness in terms of what we're doing here with, you know, with these current ascension waves, what it means, where it's taking us. It's taking us into ourselves so that we can make the changes. Never forget the macrocosm, microcosm concept, because that is basically the bottom line with regards to that. So I hope that all makes sense, Faith.
Yes. Being a core member, I can also absolutely say without a doubt the changes for myself and the impact that that has on those close to you, around you. The way people, what's interesting too is people respond to me differently.
Mm.
I don't know, like I hear more and more comments about my energy, or I notice people have a smile as I approach them often, you know, strangers. It's subtle things. It, you know, it's been fascinating watching all the different changes. So don't underestimate at all how much power that you have in making a difference here by helping humanity and Mother Earth and the things that you think that you can't make a difference in, because those dark governments, powers that be, can't influence us as a group if you stand in your light and say, this is not right. This is where we need to go. This is the direction. Not from a being at war and meeting them at war and feeding that fuel, but peacefully moving towards those things that it is that we want to create here. Don't underestimate the impact that you have paying it forward, and then that inspires other people. Just recently, this might sound small, but it's such a big deal, how you tend to your own self before you go out in the world. Do you take the time to look your best just by being tidy and groomed? And it's not about wearing the best clothes, or, and that's not what I'm talking about, but do you know what I'm saying about the way you
I
have,
know what
the
you're
way
saying,
you,
yeah.
It's very easy, especially in today's environment here in the States. Many people have returned to working at home. I shouldn't say return to working at home. A lot of companies have a work-at-home policy. It saves on real estate. It's just, this is the way it is. Talent can be found, blah, blah, blah. And you have people going to work in their pajamas, whatever it is, and you become complacent. You become less, the motivation and inspiration just doesn't seem to be there. And so when people see you being more of your honoring yourself, I guess is the way to look at it, I'm telling you, I'm seeing that difference. People are saying, I see people change, and, you know, they're saying to me, you know, you really inspired me to just be my best. And then they're shifting and they're looking at things differently, and their faith returns. I don't mean to sound petty, but it's huge. It's how you're honoring your light. How do you care for yourself? Those little things. This is how you're anchoring the light or the darkness. You know, just think about where your life is today. What's changed? And if it's better, how has it been made better? What are those things that you've done that maybe you can share with others that you take for granted, that you think are such not a big deal? Well, they really are a big deal. We want to take better care of ourselves, and we do these routines that give us stress instead of enjoying being outdoors and maybe riding your bike or walking or whatever those things are. Think about what you do most of the time and how you look at yourself and think of yourself. Is that really what you want to anchor here and honor your time here? Don't think that it's just too much, that you can't do it. That baby step, looking at those free channelings, whatever it is, shifting your perspective so that you go for the light aspect now instead of why you, why not you. You know, it's our hope that you understand that the truth of the thing is, of the way things work here on Earth, is there is a bigger plan. The divine plan is going into place. Each day is a whole new day. The energies are constantly shifting and changing. It's not meant to do you in. You know, go to our websites. I have faithparent.net. Reach out to us. Share these programs. Whatever it is that we can do to help you, let us know. Email us. Excuse me. I'm faith@faithparent.net. Write to us. Look, I get up. What time does it start? The show is 3:00 in the morning here for me while I'm here in Los Angeles. These are the little things that I can do that are free for people to help. So what is it that you do that you can help? Yeah, so I'm losing my voice because I'm getting tired because I'm getting up so early so frequently.
I just want to say quickly before, we've only got a minute and a half left, that said about taking care of what people, you know, need to do in terms of what you said there about people taking care of themselves, it's very important. Because one of the things that, you know, I've learned through all my studies is that physical body hygiene, number one, is vitally important working with these energies. Did you know that if a woman is menstruating and she does not wash herself, I mean, at least once a day, entities attach onto those energies. So if your high personal hygiene is not up to scratch, entities feed off of that energy. Because if you are not cleaning your body daily, at least once a day, your energy field is full of gunk and rubbish and toxins, and that just builds and builds and builds until eventually you've got this thick layer of grime that needs a steel wool brush to scrub it through just to see what's beneath it. So do not for a single moment underestimate how important it is to take care of yourself. Your body is your temple. So it is the vehicle that carries your spirit and your soul. So Faith, that was actually very, very important. If you are not taking care of yourself, if you are constantly eating food that makes your body uncomfortable, that makes you put on excess weight, and then you can't move your body, you're going to have no energy. You're not going to feel motivated. You're not going to deal with issues. You're not going to want to even get dressed up and make yourself look like anything that is approachable or even appreciated by your own eye in the mirror. No other energy is going to resonate comfortably with your energy either. So that is very important. And, you know, maybe we can go into more of that in our next show. But that was a very important point. Thank you, Faith, for bringing that one up.
Will we be able to have a show on the 13th, Michelle? I think that's the date for Tuesday.
Yeah. Unfortunately not. Thank you for just quickly bringing that up. Let me tell our listeners, our next show will then be, I get back from Egypt, Israel, and Jordan on the Monday, which is the 2nd of November. So let's schedule our next show then for that Tuesday, the 3rd of November. I can give a nice, fresh account of everything that we experience in Egypt, Israel, and Jordan.
Yes, that'd be great.
And then we'll carry on from there. So, yes, today is the last show. When I speak to you again, it will be when we've come back from this project. And the information for Middle East Phase 3, I'm in the process of writing, and it will be made public on my website before I go. Go to the website, sign up for my newsletter, and that will be then sent to everyone. You can also look out on Facebook, Michelle Manders or Palace of Peace. And anything you want to add in closing, Faith?
Yes, please send any questions, comments, or more information that you would like. Please email me at faith@faithparent.net. It's very important that we talk about these things and spread the information worldwide. So please don't hesitate. And thank you for a wonderful, wonderful show, wonderful trip ahead. And I'm honored to be a part of this wonderful project. Thank you, Michelle.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Faye. Thank you for being such a wonderful co-host. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in and listening. Please encourage and invite your friends and family, if they're open to it, to listen to our free broadcast. This is how Faith and I pay it forward and give back. And yes, please, if there's any suggestions of show topics, more information that you would like to know about or hear about, please email Faith again, we'll schedule some shows around your suggestions. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful morning, evening, afternoon, whatever time of the day it is. Goodbye from me, Michelle, at Palace of Peace Talk Radio, based in Johannesburg, South Africa, and Faith Parent Hendrickson, Palace of Peace Talk Radio in Hollywood. Thank you, Faith. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Have a wonderful trip, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you, Faith. Yay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.